We ask the Lord's blessing to help us get a hold of the message here. Psalm 27 this evening. Psalm 27, I'm using for a title what is said there in verse 1. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light, my salvation, my life. That pretty well sums it up, doesn't it? He is my light. He's a revelation. The revelation of God, the glory of God shines in the face of Jesus Christ. He's my light. He is my salvation. Now, that being so, no fear. No fear. We fear Him. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now this psalm, like many others, expresses the joy, hope, and confidence believers all experience and rejoice in while we are yet in this flesh. While we also experience in this life, don't we? We have joy and we're rejoicing in the Lord, but we also have sorrow. We also have grief. We also have heartache, don't we? We have disappointment, don't we? These things. That's just part of life. We have joy, we have happiness, and we have the flip side of that too. We have sorrow. Our Lord told His disciples about these sorrows that believers will experience. In John 16, He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace." And we do. We have peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He made peace for us with His own blood. But He said, "In this world you shall have tribulation." We all know about that, don't we? But He said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome." He's won the victory for us. Now these are David's words, but we know that David is speaking by inspiration of Scripture. And David certainly knew something about sorrow. He had a lot of sorrow, a lot of heartaches. But he also knew something about joy. Joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what he says in Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Bless His holy name. But we can also look at this psalm in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, the greater David, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. While in His humanity, as God manifest in the flesh, He was a real man, a man tempted and tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You remember in Isaiah 53, He's called a man of what? Sorrows and acquainted with grief. He had sorrows and grief that we know nothing about. One old preacher of the past said, "God had just one son without sin, and that is Christ. Had no sin, knew no sin, did no sin, but He had no son without sorrow." The Lord Himself had multitude of sorrows and heartache, especially bearing the grief and sorrow of our sin in His own body on the tree. But our Lord Jesus Christ also had great joy as well, didn't He? We've read this scripture many times in Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him," Hebrews 12, we're going to see that in a few weeks, "who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising His shame, but He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty in the heavens." But this is also not only a psalm of David and of the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ, but this is a psalm for every believer. We can make this our own personal psalm. I want you to take it personal. We can say, and every believer can say, "The Lord is my light and life and salvation." Every believer can say and identify with what David says here in this Psalm 27. In verses 1, 2, and 3, we see the believer's sure confidence. Confidence. He says in the last part of verse 3, in this, I will be confident. I will be confident. Now, David's confidence wasn't in David, was it? David's confidence was in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When Paul writes to those Philippians, he said, we are the true Israel, which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. So we are confident that God is able to do above all we ask or think according to his power that works in us. But let's look at these things that he says here. The Lord is my light. He not only gives light, and I mean by that revelation, he gives us a revelation of himself that we might see his beauty, that he is altogether lovely. He is my light. My light. He is the light of life. Turn over here to Psalm 36, verse 9. We read there a moment ago in John chapter 8, verse 12, where the Lord said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And look what it says here in Psalm 36, verse 9. For with thee is a fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. By nature, we're in the dark. He's got to turn on the light that we might see. He's salvation, and the Lord Jesus Christ finds us in the dark. But thank God he doesn't leave us there, does he? We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So, well, we can say a lot about the light. He is the light of the world. In him is no darkness at all. And he enlightens us, doesn't he? He gives us an understanding of who he is and what he has done, having accomplished all salvation for us. And then the second thing he says there, David said, the Lord is my salvation. My salvation. Now, I don't remember looking this up before, but I looked this up today. I was wondering how many times David says, the Lord is my salvation. And I just looked it up in the book of Psalms, and I found it recorded there 17 times. 17 times David said, the Lord is my salvation. He's my Savior. He is my salvation. Let's look at one of those. Turn back a few pages. Psalm 18. Turn over there. Psalm 18. Look at verse 1 and 2. Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God. Well, he just has one message, doesn't he? The Lord is everything. He's my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my buckler, that's my shield, and the horn, the power of my salvation, and my high tower. He's my salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is my salvation. He is the Savior of sinners. I like what he says in Psalm 23. You remember, the Lord is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Shall not want for any good thing. Simeon, you remember, he picked up the babe, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, I'm ready to die. I've seen thy salvation. That's when a man's ready to die. When he's seen God's salvation in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord is my light. He's a revelation of the glory of God that shines in the face of Christ. He is my salvation. Salvation from what? Salvation from my sin. Sin has to be dealt with. And that's what happened at Calvary. The Lord took all the sin of God's people and fully paid their debt. He put away sin. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And through that we have what? We have salvation, don't we? Salvation from what? Our sin. Our sin. There's salvation in no other. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the third thing he says there, the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my life, my strength. He says that again, or he repeats that again down in verse 14. Look at Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Be of good cheer. He shall strengthen thy heart. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He's the strength of our salvation, is he not? We had this psalm a couple weeks ago. Don't turn. Let me just remind you of it. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our strength. Now, that being true, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life, my righteousness. Now, the question then comes, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? None but the Lord. We only fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they who believe His word. Whom shall I fear? None but the Lord. Whom shall I be afraid? I cannot fear darkness. He's my light. I cannot fear condemnation because of sin. He's my salvation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I cannot fear weakness. He's my strength. Now we're not talking about physical strength, are we? We're talking about spiritual strength. He is my strength. Now our body is frail and weak, and one day it'll just wither away to nothing. And our physical strength will be gone, but our spiritual strength grows and grows and grows and grows. I cannot fear death because He's my life and He's my resurrection. I cannot fear weakness. He's my strength. I cannot fear death. He's my life. The Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, He is our resurrection, isn't He? Now look at verse 2 and 3. If God be for us, who can be against us? When the wicked, it doesn't say if, it's just a matter of when. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, when they came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. How many times did the Pharisees hold a council to destroy him? They sought to throw him off the cliff. They sought to stone him to death, and he just passed right through them. He said, my hour has not yet come. When the wicked, even my enemies, my foes, they came upon me to eat up my flesh. That's pretty gross, isn't it? Like a pack of wild dogs just gnawing on your flesh. They stumbled and they fell. Remember when they came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden? And He stepped forth and said, whom do you seek? Remember? He said, whom do you seek? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. Remember what happened? They fell backward. With a word, He defeated a whole army. He's the same Lord today. Though a host, verse 3, though a host encamp around, a host of an army surrounds me, my heart shall not fear. David knows who's on the throne. Though war should rise against me, in this I'll be confident. Now, David wasn't confident that he was a mighty warrior. His confidence was in his Lord. That's where his confidence was. When David went out, you remember, to face Goliath and the armies of the Philistines defied the armies of Israel, and they were all hunkered down afraid of the Philistines, and David went out with a sling and some stones and killed Goliath. He was confident. David wasn't confident in David. He was confident in the Lord. You remember what David said? He said to Goliath, you come with a big sword. He said, I come in the name of the Lord. And we know who won that battle, don't we? One stone killed that 10-foot giant. Wasn't he 10 feet tall? David ran up and took his sword, the sword of Goliath and took off his head too, didn't he? David was confident in the victory because God was his strength. Now, look at verse 4. The believers, verse 4, 1. 1, and just underscore the word thing, but it's really one desire. Believers have just one desire. One desire. One, I have desired of the Lord. I just have one desire. It is the Lord. That's my desire. It's the Lord. And I'll seek after Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. I just have one desire. It's Christ. He's all my desire. He's all my life. He's everything. Christ is all and in all. And because He's that one desire, you see, He's given us a new desire. As it says down here in verse 8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said, oh, I'm going to seek you. That's that desire. That's the desire that we don't have naturally. We don't have that desire to seek the Lord and to seek salvation in Christ. He's got to give us that desire. He's got to make us willing in the day of His power to seek after the Lord. Our Lord said, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. That will I seek after. Now, watch this. This desire of the Lord that He's going to seek after is to dwell in the house of the Lord. To dwell in His house, to be one with Him. To stay put in His house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's the life of the believer. We desire to be one with the Lord and to dwell in His house. That is to dwell in Him. Now, you're not talking about a physical house. You're talking about the household of faith, the household of God's people, the household of Christ Himself. He is our dwelling place, is He not? Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you in Christ, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. This one desire that I have of the Lord, and because it comes from the Lord, I seek after, so I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Look at the last part of verse 4. To behold. To behold what? To behold the beauty of the Lord. Remember Isaiah 42:1 we read Sunday? Behold my servant, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. To behold His beauty. The beauty of the Lord. Our Lord is altogether lovely. Remember Isaiah 53 says, when they saw Him, they saw no beauty in Him. They just looked at another man from Nazareth, the carpenter's son. We know who you are. You're the carpenter's son. Well, he was a carpenter, but he's God Almighty. And to the believer, He's altogether lovely. To you who believe, He is precious. To behold the beauty of His person. The beauty of His person. How do you describe the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you describe His attractiveness? What attracts the believer to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's the beauty of His mercy. It's the beauty of His love. It's the beauty of all of His attributes. The attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. The beauty of His righteousness. The beauty of His salvation. Well, I desire it. I seek after it. I want to dwell in the Lord. He's my beauty. He's my righteousness before God. You see, His beauty is ours. He has given us His beauty. He's given us His righteousness. When the Lord said from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, God is saying He's beautiful. He says that of every son of God in Christ. I'm looking at some beautiful folks out here. They're beautiful in Christ. He's our beauty. He's our glorious righteousness. Now look at verse 5. Behold the beauty of the Lord. To inquire in his temple. You see the last part of verse 4? To inquire of him, to seek his will, to inquire about him, to inquire of his way, to take his yoke upon us and learn of him. Now verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he'll just kick me out. He'll just kick me out on the street. For in the time of trouble, he'll hide me. He'll hide me. He'll protect me. He'll protect me in his dwelling place, his pavilion. When in time of trouble, he'll hide me in his pavilion, his dwelling place. In the secret part of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified. We're hidden in Christ. And then it says, in this time of trouble, the Lord will hide me in a refuge that he's provided for us. In this secret place of this tabernacle of the Most High God, he'll hide me, and then says he'll set me upon a rock. And we know here that this rock here is Christ, isn't it? The rock here is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the rock in which we hide, hidden with Christ. Our life is hid with Christ in God, with Christ in God. He shall hide me in the secret of his tabernacle in the Holy of Holies, beneath the blood-covered mercy seat, and then he shall set me upon a rock. I want you to see this. Hold the place there and find Psalm 61. Psalm 61, verse 2. Psalm 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Lead me to that high rock. Lead me to that high ground. And then turn one page. Psalm 62, verse 6. He only is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. For he provided for us so well, hadn't he? We're safe in him. Hidden in him. We're safe in him. He's the safe source of our salvation. Therefore, in verse 6, he said, now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies. It's not maybe. Not maybe. When the wicked, yeah, they'll come. Verse 6, now shall my head be lifted up. Our head is lifted up in Christ. He is the head of the body, the church, and he is lifted up, seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're seated in him. Now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices, not blood sacrifices now. I'm not going back and offering a blood sacrifice, but sacrifices of joy. And notice the marginal reference on that word joy is shouting. Shouting. That's rejoicing in the Lord. I will sing praises unto the Lord. He'll hide me in the tabernacle. It sacrifices of joy. We're going to study in Hebrews 13. Where it says, by him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And then he says, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks. That's the sacrifice of praise, is giving thanks unto the Lord. Remember, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to thy name do we give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Now, verse 7 and following, we see a prayer. And David often does this in the Psalms. You see verse 7? Hear, O Lord. We desire to be heard of the Lord, don't we? Hear, O Lord, when I cry. You know, the Pharisees, they loved to pray standing in the street corner to be seen of men. David got out in the secret places and cried unto the Lord, O Lord, when I cry, hear my voice. And what is his cry? It's a cry of mercy, isn't it? Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy upon me and answer my cry. He will. He'll answer that cry of mercy. He never turned a mercy beggar away. Never one time. Turn over here to Psalm 51. Remember Psalm 51? Look at verse 1. When David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, David, a man after God's own heart, David, who was a faithful believer, David was a sinner saved by the grace of God. And when he was caught up in his sin, when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and not only that, remember what else he did? He killed her husband, Uriah the Hittite. Killed him. What's David going to do? Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my sin. David said, I killed Goliath, you should have mercy on me. David didn't say, well, I'm a great king, you need to have mercy on me. No, he knew he didn't merit any mercy. He said, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot my sin out. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Remember when Nathan came to David and confronted him over his sin? And David told that story about the man who just had one little sheep, and someone came and took that one little sheep, and David said, tell me who he is, and I'll take care of him. And Nathan said, you remember what he said? You're the man. You're the one that stole that one little lamb. David said, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to him, the Lord hath put away thy sin. You remember that? Hear, O Lord, when I cry. Isn't that what the publican cried? Have mercy on me, thee sinner. Have mercy on me. Have mercy upon me. And he will. God delights to show mercy. If God delights to show mercy, wouldn't it be a wise thing to ask him for mercy? Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Now look at verse 8, and I've mentioned this before, but when the Lord said, seek him, seek thy face. Now we don't seek the blessings. Now listen to me. We don't seek the blessings. We seek the blesser. You see the difference? We seek the Lord. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto me, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You see, salvation. Salvation is in a person. It's not in this church, that church, or any other church. Salvation is in a person. In a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ alone. I don't know if any of you watched on Sunday evening Pastor Mahan's TV program at 8 o'clock on Sunday evening. But I usually turn on about 5 minutes before the program comes on, because sometimes it comes on a little bit earlier than 8 o'clock. But there's a man down John's Creek here who has a 30-minute program before our program comes on. And he's always talking about, and he's putting down this denomination, that denomination, the other denomination. He said, we have the right name, Church of Christ. We're the Church of Christ. Salvation's in our church. That's what he said. In all the churches where Paul writes to the Philippians, the Ephesians, the Thessalonians, the Galatians, Church of Thyatira, all the different churches, the seven churches in the Revelation, you know how many times he calls them the Church of Christ? Zero. Matter of fact, if you look up, and look this up, I've done this before. Matter of fact, if you look up the Church of Christ in the Bible, you know how many times it's in there? Zero. Zero. Salvation's in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul writes to those churches, he's writing to the saints. He's writing to believers who lived in Philippi, who lived in Galatia, who lived in these different areas. They didn't emphasize that you have to be one of us, with us. And what they're preaching is the same things that the Catholic Church preaches. If you don't go to Mass and partake of the elements, they believe that you're actually taking salvation. You have to receive it from us. The Mormons, now I know about the Mormons, I grew up one. The Mormons, they say they are the church. And you have to be baptized into their church. It's the same thing. This Church of Christ crowd, I call them the Church of Crud, because what their doctrine is crud. It's crud. It's not Christ, it's crud. You say, well, preacher, you're being unkind. No, I'm being truthful. Salvation is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to say that that you're going, and this is what this man said. He said, you're going to hell unless you join our church. Unless we, it's just not that you're baptized. We have to baptize you. That's wicked, that's what that is. That's nothing but what the Pharisees said. Pharisees said the same thing. And they're just a 21st century or 20th century Pharisees. That's all it is. And I didn't mean to get into that. I didn't have it even in my notes. But it just kind of leaked out on me. But something needs to be said. And as your pastor, I'm going to warn you. Stay away from them folks. Stay away from them. They don't seek your good. They seek your money. Your pocketbook. That's what they're after. Oh, when thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said, thy face, Lord, that's where I'm going. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. David knows if he didn't deserve mercy. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. You're the God of my salvation. You see that? You're the God of my salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. Hold your place there and find Psalm 37 over here. Psalm 37. Look at verse 39. Psalm 37. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. He is their strength in the time of trouble. He's the God of my salvation. He's the God of my salvation. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. You're the God of my salvation. Now look at verse 10. I've got to wind this up. When my father and when my mother, when they kicked me out, the Lord will take me up. The Lord will gather me, is the marginal reference on take me up. He'll gather me. Remember our Lord prayed in John 17, Father, I will that all that those you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Verse 11. Gather me, now teach me. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way, O Lord. We need to be taught, don't we? Remember our Lord said, come unto me, All you are laboring, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know, he's the teacher and he's the lesson. He's the lesson. He's the teacher. He's the lesson. So gather me, teach me, lead me in a plain path. The simpler, there is a simplicity in the gospel. There is a singleness in the gospel. The gospel of God's grace and glory in Christ. It's a plain way. It's not complicated with all these rules and regulations and different things. And it's a plain way. Lead me, teach me, lead me in a plain way, in a plain path. Christ is the way. Because of mine enemies. Now he mentions his enemies again. Deliver me not to the will of my enemies. Their false witnesses are risen up against me, such as breathe out cruelty against me. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I believed to see in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now watch this. Most of the time, someone would say, when you hear some fabulous story, and someone would say, well, I won't believe that until I see it. Well, in the way of faith, it's just the opposite. We believe to see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord is merciful. The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'd fainted unless the Lord had given me faith to believe Him. Verse 14, now wait on the Lord. Teach me, lead me in the plain path. Gather me, and Lord, help us to wait on Thee. Wait upon the Lord. And be of good courage. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. He shall strengthen thy heart. And this is not the old man, the old nature, that wicked heart. It's talking about the new heart that he gives in regenerating grace. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. The Lord is my light, my salvation. The Lord has strengthened my life, and whom shall I fear?